Hi, my name is Jana Neumann, and I'm your host on the Wunder Mobility podcast. Welcome to today's Wunder Mobility podcast. And as always, we want to understand and we want to learn more about how does the future of new mobility, the future of mobility will look like, especially in big cities. As we are here today in Hamburg, a city with, I would say, really groundbreaking ideas and in the forefront of new mobility solutions. And thanks to the UITP, this year we are even celebrating the power of connection even more due to the fact that they are gathering a global summit here in Hamburg in June. What is pretty exciting for both of us, I think. And to navigate the mobility landscape even better, we do have Sascha Meyer, the CEO of Moya, here today. Welcome, Sascha. Very nice to have you here. And we will delve today into the transformative story of Moya and learn a bit more what is Moya about and what is the background and also, even more important, the future Moya is looking into it. Yeah, as I said, Sascha, great to have you here. I will briefly introduce you for the unlikely reason that people don't know you. I think most of them do who are hearing the podcast. And Sascha Meyer is the CEO of Moya for now approximately 3 years, since 2022. And even before that, he was within Moya for 8 years, starting in the product division as a product lead and then moving into the chief product officer, also shaped a lot of the product we are currently seeing in Moya during this time, and then moved into the role of CEO. I think your whole career is shaped by the automotive sector, which is quite interesting because you have a lot of background into automotive, into mobility, and how this evolved over the past 10, 15 years. So, Sascha, can you tell me a bit more about Moya and what is the secret of Moya which still inspires you and makes you happy and motivated to go to work every day?
Yeah, thanks, Jana. Thanks for having us and having the pleasure to introduce both Moya and the UITP Congress here in Hamburg in your podcast. So what motivates me is actually to create solutions that will help the world to move in a better way than we have them today. So I think mobility is such a great topic as it relates to everyone. If you like are out in Hamburg, everyone has an opinion on Moya. So it's not that people don't know what we are offering. They are keen. They have tried the service. So there's a lot of excitement around mobility. And at the same time, mobility is also what fuels our society when it comes to the economic power on the one side, when it comes also to emotional connections that are created with the opportunity to travel around the world and at the same time also to create. And I think that that's also very important aspect in today's political landscape to create strong ties between nations, between cultures, and create understanding. And so that's really what excites me, is to contribute, even if it's just a tiny little bit, to the options that people travel and create a world where this is sustainable and we can enjoy the pleasures of connection.
Yeah, I think it's even more than a tiny little bit what you just said, what Moya is creating there. So Moya is backed and founded by Volkswagen, so a big power behind, and a very good sign that a German automotive manufacturer had already in 2016 the vision and the idea in mind to shape some kind of new mobility and foreseeing the future, not only people buying cars and owning their own car, but really how to shape the transportation of a city and how to make it also the most effective and also fun and joy to travel the city. So the Moya story is, I would say, quite straightforward, but with a lot of innovation and with a lot of things and every year new adoptions to the market since now already 2016. So how would you define Moya's role in the whole new mobility mix, and how would you describe the evolution of Moya over the past 10 years now already?
Mm-hmm. I think Moya's role is to bring autonomous vehicles into the mobility landscapes with a specific touch on the common good. Mm-hmm. So for us, autonomous vehicles are a great technology, and it's no question it's going to be exciting, it's going to be transformative. But at the same time, it's important to consider what we want to use this technology for. And as a car manufacturer, there's different opportunities to look on this. And the one way is to say, okay, this is going to be the new transformation in ownership, or it's going to be a better option for taxi, where we can grab a larger chunk of the value chain and try to be even more important than cars are already today in offering end-to-end services. But the other angle, and that's our vantage point that we use, is to look on it and say, okay, how can be our contribution with autonomous technology to create mobility systems that are more sustainable and that have the transformative power to help people travel better for the common good. So if we look in the rural landscape, there is a lot of areas where we can't offer shared mobility because it's too costly. Or in cities, the exclusive use of private vehicle creates a lot of problems. But we have not found other solutions that will draw people into shared mobility. And so we think that with Moya, we build a bridge between the individual car and the public transport for such situations where you just need more flexibility, or you want more comfort or more privacy. And with autonomous vehicles and with the experience that we have created with our service that we are still operating here in Hamburg with more than 500 vehicles with human drivers, for us, it's a huge chance to combine both the technology and the experience with the service we create and offer this in a manner that creates partnerships. And for us, we want to collaborate. And that's also the reason why we are part of the UITP, why I'm vice chair of the shared mobility division, because we think that it's important that we collaborate with the local experts that are already there, public transport operators, public transport authorities, also private players in some areas of the world, and just say, okay, let's harness the power that is already there and the footprint that is already there and create local specific solutions that create more flexibility and that create transformative power for the good. If we look on the journey you described, I think now in hindsight, it looks straightforward. So we launched Moya, we built a service, then came the autonomous vehicles, here we are.
Being in the midst of it, it's surely not straightforward, but happy to hear more about that.
Exactly. So for me, I joined in December 2017, and there we already took the decision to invest into what we call ride pooling, to create a service where we combine different passengers on the same way. But this was not clear in 2016 when the company was founded. There was more or less search for what is the best options to proceed with. Is it going to be vertical transportation with drones? Is it going to be built a TNC platform for the European market? Is it going to be micromobility? So we all know, and Wunder was already there at that point in time. It was a buzzing time in mobility with a lot of investments floating into that area. And so there's a lot of trials to find out what's really sustainable. And we took the decision to say, okay, what's going to be an option for mobility that uses what is already there, not having the need to build new infrastructure, not having the need to transform people behavior in a dramatic way like with vertical mobility. And so that's why we said, okay, we have streets, and streets are universal. They are everywhere on the world. So let's use the streets that are already there, but use them in a wise way. And then we investigated and said, okay, what works in the US, what works in even the emerging worlds? Like a lot of people say, Moya is nothing new. It's like Dolmush in Turkey. And yes, that's true. And we said, okay, let's combine that and combine it in a wise way. Use technology to make it more accessible. And that's why we started to build Moya and created the service. And then we moved onwards. We've understood that we need a special purpose vehicle to make it comfortable for people. We wanted to have it battery electric to be emission free. And at the same time, we said, okay, it needs to be comfortable, because we tested services in the US and also in the emerging world where you were in touch with people's body parts you don't want to be in touch with. And that's why we said, okay, we need to have single seats. We need to have direct aisle access. You want to see your luggage when you drive. You want to see information on a central screen. You just want to have privacy. That's why we've created the headrest with the cocooning that we offer, like in a business class. So you can lay back and no one can stare at you, which might be frightening in, in a shared environment. And that's why we've created this vehicle. And we started services in Hanover and then in Hamburg in 2018, 2019. And it was a great success. So we have seen a lot of people who wanted to use our services. In the beginning, our biggest problem was that we didn't have sufficient drivers. We didn't have the hub infrastructure that we have today. And I remember when we were discussing in our management team with the head of operations, we said, yeah, we need more, we need more. And he said, I need concrete to get the ramp into our hub fix so we can send the vehicles out. So it was really a rough time to get everything started. And it was a huge success as people adopted so soon that we didn't expect that. We didn't see that coming. So there was a huge demand and people started to use the service. They liked what they did see. And so we were able to establish the service despite the setbacks that we had during COVID. So this was also a dark time where we had to send drivers into part-time work or even suspend our service for a limited time. But still, we have seen that as soon life kicked back in 2021, 2022, our service was already there. People wanted to use it and started to use the service again. And so today we can really say we are part of Hamburg's mobility culture. I think from a modal share perspective, dependent on how you count it, we are below 1%, so 0.1 or 0.2% of the modal share. So from that perspective, we are irrelevant for what the company carries. But at the same time, it's like offering a huge service that brings people into public transport. Because we know we offer the gap. If you have just one trip during your day that breaks your chain, where you say, I want to go to the doctors. I have to do to go to a doctor, and I could not do this with public transport because my schedule doesn't allow it. Then we might offer you the one solution that enables you to have two more rides with public transport by having one Moya ride, and that's the effect that we were able to study with our university partners, that we offer a benefit in public transport use by offering our more flexible service as an addition.
You already said it. It's pretty hard, and I think this is also the hardest part in changing mobility behavior is really to change the habits of the people, not only living in the city, but also living in the outskirts. So that's even more critical to have an own car. So I'm also more from the countryside, and I could not imagine a time when I was younger without my own car. So this is really the critical point. I think this is also why the adoption of new mobility solutions such as shared mobility not yet made it to really getting rid of individual cars or individual transportation solutions. Do you think with the comfortable offering and with the service Moya brought into life, this will slightly improve the situation? So do you maybe even know stories where people said, now with living in Hamburg and with a great public transportation, but with a combination of Moya, the people thinking or even get rid of their own cars?
Yeah, I think it's, as you say, mobility is a social cultural aspect. And people take a lot of decisions that pave the path for the coming years. And I think we are a little bit in a bubble because we in the mobility space, we are super excited if a service launches, if an app launches, we are the first ones to download it and try it.
Jumping on it.
Yes, yeah. But that's absolutely not standard household behavior. Yeah, it takes a long time. And what we have seen is that people tried the service at first in situation where it's not critical. like going mm-hmm. to a restaurant or driving home from a party or driving mm-hmm. to the gym. That's situations where people try out new mobility services. And if you're able to deliver, like mm-hmm. being on time, being reliable, being comfortable, being at a fair price, then people start to consider you. If you delivered a good service like 3 or 4 times, they start to begin to use for more time critical applications, mm-hmm. use cases such as traveling or going to work, and then you more or less become part of the mobility behavior. Mm-hmm. But dependent on the situation, it's a very individual situation, and the use cases of customers, this case, take quite a while. Mm-hmm. So we see in our cohorts that some are really fast adopters. They use the service 4 or 5 times in 1 month, and then they become more or less heavy users of mm-hmm. our service. At the same time, we see that there are a lot of people who are quite slow in the adoption. And I think that's the more natural way that I would consider as being the huge majority and that we see in our data, because mm-hmm. no one will come home and say, oh, there is Moya or there is another mobility service XYZ, now we're gonna sell the car. And I think that's what we want to do, is more or less to give an option to use public transport more often mm-hmm. and just create a new behavior pattern where people more or less have the option to use public transport as their main mean of transportation. Mm-hmm. Maybe this leads to the situation where they don't buy a second or a third car. And that's, I think, the most important aspect in cities, is to free up space for more mobility, to free up space for pedestrians, for cyclists, etc., by having less cars parked. Mm-hmm. Cars are not bad per se. Like, the problem is the space we occupy mm-hmm. with cars and the bad utilization over the course of the day. And I think if we can improve that and increase the usage of our space for mobility, the better we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's our main goal, to more or less create solutions that enforce people to create new habits and to use public transport more often and without feeling restricted in their freedom of choice.
Yeah, in the end, it will always be a mixture, right? So you said it in the very beginning, it is about creating a network and really collaborate with other mobility partners in a city to combine the best mix for the users, because otherwise they won't use it. You just said it and talked a bit about the heavy users. What is a heavy user of Moya? Is it a person using it every day, or is it a person using it 2 times a week? So to get a feeling for the usage.
Yeah, we have people using our service several times a day.
Crazy.
So sometimes there is this misconception that mobility services always need to be cheap, but that's not the reality. For us, what we see is that people spend 800, 1,000 euros per month on our service as mm-hmm. an individual user. And they have specific needs, and they are not the majority. I would love it to be this from a commercial standpoint or business point of view, but actually it's a selected few. But what it shows is that those people use the service to this huge extent because it serves them the best value for what they need. And mm-hmm. we investigated what's their purposes. And most of the time, for sure, it's people who have businesses like your lawyers mm-hmm. or people like consultants who need to travel a lot in the city between different destinations. Or for mm-hmm. them, time is money. But they understand, I don't want to use the taxi all the time. I'm fine with using the shared environment of a Moya. Mm-hmm. It still is swift enough, and it is better from the sustainability aspects. And so that's why they use our service. And also they like the interior, and that the service offers the same quality all the same time. And that brings them into our vehicle. The majority of our users, like 80%, use our service between 3 and 5 times a month. And I think that's a fair fair share of recurring usage. And with our service, we were able to transport 12 million passengers since we launched in 2019, and up to more or less 50, 60,000 passengers a week. And if you see, this is it's like a very good outcome that people adopted their behavior and they use Moya on a recurring basis.
Yeah, and they really like it because it's very comfortable. So you are closely collaborating with the public transportation network, not only in Hamburg, but also in other cities. So is this great collaboration, which you also already started from the early beginnings, I think, is this one of the key ingredients for the success? So would you say, okay, without them, without this collaboration, it would have failed? And this is something which was definitely the right step.
Yeah. I think it's definitely a huge factor of our success and support we've received. Our mantra is to say not against, it's wisdom. Mm-hmm. And that's for us a key principle that we consider as very important in the mobility space. Why? With just one solution that you create centrally, you don't have a chance to really understand the local environment. Mm-hmm. And you can say, it's all the same, it's cities. And once they have a certain size, there is maybe three or five archetypes of different city, and then you can just launch services. But you forget about the individual services that are there, the individual challenges. And if you look on the, let's say, public transport infrastructure between London, Paris, Hamburg, Berlin, the city might look the same, yeah, different sizes, but you could say they share the same problems. Mm-hmm. But the environment, the understanding of the politicians, the social requirements, also the topographics of the cities with the different layers of public mm-hmm. transport network, they are vastly different. And so for us, it's clear that there is not a silver bullet. Mm-hmm. You just can't say there's one solution that fits all requirement of each and every city. And if you look in the rural area, it gets even more widespread with the challenges that you might want to solve. And therefore, we said who you can work with to have the best understanding of what is needed. And that's why for us, we specifically launched in Hamburg. If you like mm-hmm. review where we started, the first and still headquarter of Moya is Berlin. Mm-hmm. But we launched the service in Hamburg because Hamburg has proven itself as being very open to try innovation, mm-hmm. to even go a long stretch as we launched our service. There was no regulation in the Public Transport Act in Germany to launch ride pooling. It was technically, it was only allowed being executed by the use of something called experimental clause.
Yeah. So that's where we were in the very beginnings of Wunder.
Yes. So it was an experiment, yes. And that's what we used with the city of Hamburg. So you needed the support and also the support of Hamburger Hochbahn, VAH, HVV here in the city to really move onward and don't be understood as competition, but mm-hmm. to work together to create a better solution by harnessing the powers that private company bring in. We mm-hmm. are definitely looking at mobility more from an economic point of view. Mm-hmm. We'll take a look at the efficiency of our service, which is a joint aspect between public and private players. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I think public players, and that's what we learned a lot for, how to cater to the needs of the common good. And that's also why we are so happy now with the long-standing relationship to the city of Hamburg that we offer free rides for people with severely disabilities, severe mm-hmm. disabilities. And this service is a huge success. So in 2024, we had 400,000 rides for people with severe disabilities and 30,000 rides for people who are sadly in a wheelchair and need special vehicles to move around in the city. And the feedback we receive is dramatically positive. So a huge boost for our whole team because those people are so grateful for the direct connections mm-hmm. that we offer, for the flexibility that we bring to their life, that like this combination of our business sentiment at the same time understanding public transport need and jointly trying to create the efficiency in the cities, that's a huge success of collaboration. And that's also what we bring into the market now with our expansion, both with our software solutions mm-hmm. And at the same time, the autonomous vehicles that we build.
Yes, I think this is a great point. And this is also If I remember correctly, something you would showcase in the UATP summit is the Project Alike, right? So the project about autonomous vehicles, fully autonomous vehicles, as a partnership together with the Hamburg City, Hamburger Hochbahn. So would you like to tell us a bit more about this, I would say, sophisticated service? Because we always thought, okay, autonomous vehicles, they will be there soon. They will be there soon, maybe since 10 years. And now finally, we would see them, and we already see them living in Hamburg in test cases on the streets. So very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So we also had the understanding that for a while there was huge overestimation of how soon autonomous mobility is going to happen. And then it turned out to be a little bit like Game of Thrones. Winter is coming, but you never know when.
Another episode.
Yes. Now it's a very good situation as we are operating autonomous vehicles in Hamburg, in Austin, in Munich, and also additional cities that we are going to announce this year. So it's a huge thing, and it's definitely coming. No reasons to have any doubt on that. What is Alike? And Alike is exactly something to refer as this great collaboration between the city, between the local public transport operators. In this case, it's the Hamburger Hochbahn, and between private players. And private players is not only Moya. It's not only Volkswagen with providing the ID bus as an autonomous vehicle. It's also a company called Holon who create a larger minibus as an autonomous vehicle. And the unique combination is that while Hamburger Hochbahn will operate the autonomous vehicles of Holon, the minibuses, we will operate the ID bus as a smaller size four-seat vehicle driving autonomously. We will combine both in one platform. That's the Moya ecosystem that we build for the fleet management to provide all the dispatching that you need. And we offer those offerings, those two different vehicle types combined in our platform on two different sales channels. The sales channel of Hamburger Hochbahn, which is the aggregator app Switch, and at the same time to our Moya clients. And so this is really a unique combination where we are collaborating across boundaries to not only learn about what is necessary to operate autonomous vehicles, not only learn what is necessary to run this technology, at the same time, look at acceptance of customers and understand how they want to use the service. Do they prefer to book it through Switch? Do they have? Are they happy with using the service? In which situations do they want to use the service? Does a larger vehicle work better? Does a smaller vehicle work better in certain situations? So this creates a lot of opportunity to optimize, and that's what we are planning to achieve with the Alike project. Where do we stand? It's quite a good thing. We, as Moya, together with Volkswagen, we launched a so-called closed user group test. So right now, I, as an employee of the Volkswagen Group, can go to Wandsbek, can go to Winterhude and order an autonomous vehicle. Our ID buses will turn up it and will bring me from A to B, as such as with our human drivers. The cool thing is I can sleep in this vehicle. It drives on its own. So it is, that's what our understanding of full autonomous. Today, we're still operating with safety drivers, and this is will still be the case with the Alike project, as we have not yet received the necessary serial approval from the authorities in Germany, and we are still in the development phase for those vehicles. But at the end, in 2026 and beginning of 2027, we will be able to commercialize, pull the safety driver, start full driverless operation, and use the vehicles as an addition to our existing fleet, and hopefully at the same time, Hamburger Hochbahn will have the opportunity also to use the Holon vehicles for line services to support bus operations and also for on-demand services if this proves to be positive in the Alike project.
Very cool. Is the service in Austin already without safety drivers? So we always hear that in the US it's always easier and the rules are not so strict. Is this already fully autonomously without anything?
No, it's not. Only because the regulation does allow something. It does not literally say it's a good idea to do so. not pointing at any competitors, but what we see is we currently use vehicles which are considered prototypes. So from the outside, it looks like an ID. Buzz, but in the insides, we use a lot of new components like redundant steering, redundant braking, redundant power supply. We don't yet have the serial production grade components for the assembly. And that's why, even though it's not about the driverless, the self-driving system that we use from Mobileye, it's still about the whole safety chain of the vehicle, where we say, okay, whatever is the case for a prototype vehicle, it's always a wise idea to operate with safety operators on board who are able to jump in and help in any situation that might occur. So for us, it's pretty clear that safety is an imperative. So when we want autonomous vehicles to unleash the power of transformation, then they need to be a lot safer than the human driver. And that's why we take this approach, even for the US, to develop a vehicle that is compliant to the German regulation, which is, I think, the most strictest and most hard to deliver one in the world. But it also the one which promises to has the highest degree of safety, because more or less it looks like a car, but in the inside it's like a plane, because everything that is critical is redundant. And so we think that's the way to go, because one critical incident can not only kill one company, it can kill an industry, and it can set us back in the opportunities that autonomous vehicles create for decades. And that's why we think it's so super important not to risk anything if the risk is not necessary, just to be always in the understanding that what we do needs to be in the scale of trust.
Yeah, also for the user adoption, I think it's a very important step, because I think there's also some kind of fear to trust the machine, so to just trust the car, and people will feel safer if a human still sits next to them or next to the virtual driver, so that they can react. So I think it's absolutely the right decision. What is the, is also the coming up with the car and supply chain? You already talked a few times about, okay, we not yet have the right components, we not yet have the smoothest supply chain to really build these fully autonomous vehicles. Is this also one of the biggest challenges? Because you are, I could imagine how complex this whole project is, because you not only need to look into the user side and what is the market screaming for, what will work on the market, but also looking on the other side, how can we make sure that a vehicle we can trust will be on the streets, and how can we manufacture it also to an okay price, I would say, and not sky high. Yeah, so would you call this as one of the biggest challenges?
Yeah, that's straight to the point. So what we see in the world, both the US, China, they are proving that the technology is there. So the future is here. It's just unevenly distributed in the world regions. So we know it's going to happen, and we will see safer transportation on the road than we have today. The real challenge is now how to turn technology into a business, because without a business, it will not be sustainable. You can fuel any experiment, you can fuel any technology by injection of capital. That's what's happening.
But you won't have the business case, now. Right?
You won't have the business case. And that's exactly where more or less our heritage comes into play, as being an offspring of an automotive company. Is we are not interested in show cars. Like everyone can build a show car. You can have shiny car shows with amazing vehicles and spec sheets, but the real proof is what you put on the road and whether you are able to sustain the operations. And I think with also a lot of the challenges that startups in the battery electric vehicle space face, it becomes apparent that those challenges will also be present with an even more complex machine as an autonomous vehicle. And that all we do is aimed to create a solution that is scalable. If it's not scalable from a cost perspective, not scalable from an operational perspective, it's not a solution that works for us. To give you one example, it's about the outer shape of the vehicle. And you see a lot of the different system that use spinning LiDARs mm-hmm. on top of mm-hmm. the vehicle. And yes, you can encapsulate them, but still anything that spins create a problem because you have yeah. a lot of different vibrations in the car. You want to put the car into a car wash mm-hmm. or to do with what is on top of the vehicle. We think this creates a lot of problems, and we just use solid LiDARs. Mm-hmm. You need to use more of them instead of having the spinning 360 degree solution yeah. on the top of the roof. But still, we think it's the better way to go because we can clean them, we can put them in a car wash, they are easier to maintain. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different aspects. This is just one example where thinking about scalability is very important, and we think the approach of using an off-the-shelf vehicle today, just putting, just in quotation marks, puts yeah. The self-driving system into is great for the current state of the business, but it will not lead to a situation where these cars can be operated mm-hmm. by public transport operators in scale if you don't have high-skilled technical engineers in each and every depot that you run.
Yeah, yeah. So really looking into the life cycle and the scalability of the service, and not only on having it as a show car, as you said, because LiDARs are not cheap. So I think from a camera perspective, from a vision perspective, it's the most expensive one you can take as a 3D view. But nevertheless, you thought about, okay, in the beginning, it's maybe more expensive on the bill of material. You would have more LiDARs than just one, who is then 360. But in the long run, it will save you a lot of money and makes it also maintainable, as you said, for not only experts. I think one or two last points. Mm-hmm. And one is picking up the UATP again. So I think we will see great stuff from Moya and also from the collaboration with the Alike project. What is something next to this which you are very much looking forward for the UATP? So what is something you are really motivated to visit it?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm a huge cyclist. So I spend more kilometers a year on bikes than I use my private car. That's why I'm really keen on the cycling culture that mm-hmm. the city is creating. So the Hamburg Alliance for Cycling and Pedestrian, they will promote this so-called environmental alliance of cycling, mm-hmm. walking, public transport. And I think creating this vibe around cycling now, as Hamburg has taken huge steps to really improve mm-hmm. its cycling infrastructure, now to say, okay, cycling can be part of your lifestyle. It's not life-threatening. Yeah, it's not mm-hmm. if you hop on your bike, you immediately are risking your life. And yeah. I think for a lot of people, this is still the perception, despite all statistics, etc. And I think it's so important to create movement and create understanding and create this aspect of culture. And I think the way they want to proceed and create visual identity, create communication framework for these cities, cycling infrastructure, that's going to be really huge step forward to bring people into the situation that they want to use the infrastructure, and kids and teenagers think it's cool. I don't need to use a scooter. Mm-hmm. I can a bike. It's a lot of time, a lot better solution. Yeah. So why not doing it? And I think that's just a great idea, even though it sounds small. Furthermore, with the inner city concept, the city of Hamburg is reshaping one of the core districts of the city around Jungfernstieg mm-hmm. and Steinstraße. And we have seen that the roads are already blocked for through passing traffic mm-hmm. and are now open for public transport, Moya, and taxi services. But really, working towards a transformation to create a city of short distances, the so-called famous 15-minute cities, in the city center, that's a huge step forward to say, okay, you don't have to use mobility, you don't have to use your car. The bad thing is mileage that is not created, because you need to want to fetch bread from your baker. Yeah, if the baker is in a walking distance, that's the best mobility concept that we can have. And I think this strong push forward to reconsider how the inner city is shaped, move away from the former principles of the car-friendly city from the 70s, which we know has not taken us to where we want as a society, I think that's now a huge step forward. And also, if we look into the digital world, for us as Moya, we rely heavily on data. All decisions that we take are totally automated. We operate our whole service of 500 vehicles, both in Hamburg and Hanover, only with two people in our fleet control system. And we just need those people being in control for everything that's our unlikely cases, our critical cases, so we can support passengers and our drivers in critical situation. And having access to accurate data, to real-time data, is so crucial to improve not only the efficiency of a service, but also the perception for customers. So it creates really service, it really helps to create excellent service quality. And so I'm really looking forward to the urban data platform that the city is creating, where there will be a lot of predictive information, where decision support systems are created, not only for mobility, but also for logistics services. And it sounds like a small thing, but having traffic data, having construction site data, this will not only help today's services, but also autonomous services, as you're able to avoid challenges early on by having the information at hand when you take decisions on where the vehicle should drive, as an example.
Yeah. So there are already so many data lying around, I would say, but really bring them all together and shape them in a way that really the end user of the service will really feel it. I think this is the end game to really combine the user needs, but also the mobility mix services from a city and even above city corners, right? So this should be the goal, not only make it for the city center or for the city itself, but really try, which would most likely be the next step then, if it works in the city quite well, to really expand the service to smaller cities and to the outskirts. What is maybe some last famous words from your side? What do you think, next to the autonomous driving and next to the data, what is something you foresee for the new mobility change for the next 3 to 5 years? Is there something else?
3 to 5 years is a very short time frame for mobility. To be honest, I think we will see a lot of consolidation in the market. Corona has created a lot of empty pockets in the households. A lot of innovation was also stopped in the public transport area. And I think now it's the time to use the chance to this economic pressure that definitely will be there to say, okay, what is the right concepts that we want to follow? Where do we want to spend our money? And I think we have seen some situation where the same projects are replicated in 15, 20, 25 different cities, and they all created the same learning. So what I think is now a huge chance for the whole mobility space is to say, okay, let's be wise. Where can we combine powers? Where can we build alliances? Where can we focus transformation in one region? Where can we prove in one region that what we are promising as an industry will work? And I think that's really a chance to create metropolitan areas, rural, suburban, and city areas where mobility services can create a joint network where we put everything together, where it's offered, where it's available, where it's offered at a fair price, focus on that and see where this transformation can lead us to create lighthouses to say, okay, look at this, it works. You can use it. And then let's hope for a better economic situation. Mm-hmm. Let's hope for a world that is not dominated by protectionism.
Yeah.
And then we have the chance to more or less become a society that exports good solutions for mm-hmm. mobility for the whole world.
Yeah, yeah, really working together and not being against each other, right? So I think the shared mobility, this is what we also felt the past years. Most of the operators, yeah, really kind of working against each other and not really together. And as you said, all of them creating a lot of learnings, a lot of lessons learned, but no one really sharing it. And therefore, yeah, we cannot get better, right? And we cannot shape the future. It's really about the collaboration, learnings, and Moya is, I would say, a kind of North Star in this collaboration, and how you really work together every day with cities, with partners, with also other mobility operator, mobility providers, to really make the best out of it. So very, very cool to see, and I'm pretty sure that we will see lots of autonomous Moyas in the future here, and we will all use it not only in Hamburg and Hannover and all over the world, I would say. Thank you very much, and for the nice talk, Sascha.
Thank you, Jana. Yeah, to all the listeners, we very keen to welcome you to the UITP Congress. Have the chance to hop in our vehicle to experience self-driving in Europe and have the chance to see where we are heading towards and how we want to transform mobilities as a whole. So let's come to Hamburg. Let's use the opportunity and come to the UITP Congress. That's our huge call for everyone listening.
Yes. Perfect. The weather will be nice, hopefully, so we can also cycle and have a combination from using a bike and cycle the city. Cool. Thank you, Sascha. Have a nice one and talk to you the next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.